ければ。
The button has been pushed.
Commencing podcast now.
Yes, we should roll on through it. Through it. Through it. Through it.
Welcome to Pop Tech Jam, the independent audio magazine about consumer technology, pop culture, ice hockey, air hockey, and horse hockey. I'm J.D. Beersdorfer.
I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
On this week's show, Pedro has a tech term to share with the class, and I stroll around the web in search of regional cuisine that you can order online instead of making that expensive road trip. But first, some news.
News. You know what? Before we get into the news.
You have some things to say.
I do have some things to say. I got an email, very interesting email.
Uh-huh.
From a long-time listener who...
Yeah, long-time listener, first-time writer.
There you go, first-time writer. Mentioning something that I did in a segment with Christian from the Bros.
Oh, yes.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yes, your chat with him, yes.
Right, I had a chat. And I actually mentioned our employers.
Oh, yes.
And that we used to do a show. And actually, you have the mug right there. A limited edition, classic.
Oh, yes.
That is a collector's item you're holding there. It's a Bits Tech Talk coffee mug.
And it's full of tea,
And it's full
ironically.
Of tea. That is... The show we used to do, well, technically it started off as Tech Talk and then it started off as Bits Tech Talk, but
yeah,
that's
a long
story.
Journey.
Right. But folks, we're just joking when we say we can't name the show. Obviously, we don't do the show for the New York Times anymore,
yeah. But
we did do the show at one point. And because of you folks out there asking for it, requesting that we do it, we're back.
Yeah.
Pop Tech Jam.
It was just a little bit of fun with the subterfuge.
There's no backstory to it. There's no issues. Everything's cool. JD and I still do some work for that huge major metropolitan media conglomerate. And,
yes.
You know, and we're very happy to,
yes,
you know.
It's a fine organization.
It is a fine organization. So there is no problems. There's no skullduggery. Is that it? That, I love that word.
I believe
skullduggery.
That is, yes.
That is a great word.
It's a very
it?
Rich word.
Yes. Skullduggery. That is a great word. Anyway, I lost track. What were we talking about?
Oh, you were talking about the fact that we used to do this old podcast, and then they stopped doing that podcast,
and we're doing
this new podcast, and that's the one we're on now.
Exactly.
All right.
And by the way, folks, rate us. Tell us what you think of the show, please. It helps us keep doing this. Anyway.
Yes, and thank you for everyone who has been doing it, because I noticed we were showing up on iTunes and kind of the
and
hot
Stitcher.
Box, yeah.
We cracked the top 100 tech shows on Stitcher. And ironically, guess what was one of the shows we hopped over?
One of the Martha Stewart shows?
No, our own old show.
Our old show,
Bits Tech Talk, was still on the charts. That's how good that show, but we finally bested it. It was on there, it was holding on.
Yeah, all right.
We are very good at what we do.
Well, I'm glad we stepped over our own dead body.
Yes, we did. We stepped over our old carcass.
Yes.
Anyway, news.
How about some news?
News.
Now, in a speech for the University of Colorado Law School on Monday, Tom Wheeler, the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, said the agency will be releasing its new plan for a set of net neutrality rules sometime soon, perhaps even in the coming days, perhaps even by the time you hear this podcast.
Oh, let's hope.
He had this great speech, and I'm going to talk about the speech in a moment. But as you may recall, if we go back in the time machine just a few weeks ago.
Oh, way back machine.
Yes, you know, the woo with the little yellow chimes.
It's very groovy.
But as you may recall, the FCC had to go back to the drawing board after a federal appeals court ruled in favor of Verizon last month and overturned the net neutrality policy that had been in place for the past several years, saying that big companies couldn't restrict other companies from internet pipe and that, everyone had to be treated equally.
Insert sad trombone.
Yeah, sad trombone. Now, despite the trash and the rules, though, Wheeler said in his speech that the Telecommunications Act of 1996 does provide the FCC with the authority to encourage broadband deployment by, among other things, removing barriers to infrastructure deployment and promoting competition. Mm. He pointed out that in 1996, though, Congress did not clearly foresee the rise of broadband internet services, let alone their eventual centrality to all forms of electronic communications, which is certainly true.
It's very true.
He also said that the last time Congress updated our communications law, the world's fastest supercomputer cost $55 million to develop and was roughly the size of a tennis court. Just 9 years later, Sony's PlayStation 3 surpassed the performance of 1996's most powerful supercomputer. So that's how fast all of this is happening.
Absolutely.
He's saying that the laws written at the time in 1996 just
don't apply.
Yeah, couldn't really predict what we would be like today.
Of course.
Some opponents to government regulation fear that the FCC may use the second chance to rewrite its rules to overstep its bounds and start trying to control everything on the internet. But they haven't made the proposal yet, so we don't know what exactly is coming.
So wait a minute. These guys guys would rather that Verizon and the large...
Well, it's the free market people. No, the free market needs to
Regulate itself.
Yeah,
that works out really well.
Yeah. So, but for those who are fans of public oratory, Mr. Wheeler's speech included references to Abraham Lincoln's second address to Congress from December 1862, Moore's Law, the metaphysics of pizza delivery, and Return of the Jedi without the Ewoks. Yeah. So it's a very entertaining six-page read. It's available online. I'll link to it if you wanted to read the speech in its entirety. It's 6 pages long, but very readable.
There you go.
He's just kind of laying out the framework of where he comes from a governing standpoint, and all of the kind of history that is going into the rules that they're going to put forth, right, even though they haven't announced them yet. He's just basically saying, you know, stay tuned. We're going to have our policy up soon.
Ooh, they're swinging back.
We'll see where that goes.
Yes.
Now, in other legal news, the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit rejected Apple's request to ditch the court-appointed monitor in the ebook price-fixing case fall. Mm-hmm. The court ruling said it's the monitor's job to make sure Apple executives were educated on new procedures to comply with antitrust laws, but did acknowledge that the monitor was not supposed to investigate whether the personnel were in fact complying with the antitrust or other laws. So they just said, here are the laws. They can't, you know, narc on them and see if they were actually enforcing them.
Gotcha.
But Apple claims the appointment of a monitor is unwarranted and is intrusive to its business practices.
Uh-oh.
So that's why they had to fight the appeal, but they lost the appeal, so they still got the monitor. So we'll see what comes out of that. You know what's also intrusive?
What is it?
Malware.
Yes, it is. Very intrusive.
And the Secure Mac site says it's found a new Trojan horse called OS10/CoinThief.a aimed at Apple's flagship operating system.
Dun, dun, dun.
Another Mac virus. Now, according to Secure Mac, run by a company that also makes Mac security software, curiously enough, the malware comes disguised as an app to send and receive payments on Bitcoin stealth addresses, but instead it spies on all the Mac's browser traffic in hopes of stealing login credentials for Bitcoin wallets. I guess Bitcoin is the new thing people are going after.
I like Dogecoins myself.
I really, you prefer those? Well, you know, maybe you can get their value up there. But in happier Apple news, the company's iTunes radio service has now gone international with a launch in Australia this
week.
Yeah, so they finally getting the rights out, and Australia was the first one that got to have the service outside the U.S.
Lots of AC/DC, lots of Minute Work.
Yeah, I'm imagining Vegemite
maybe the Vines
sandwiches.
To
yeah.
make it cool.
Yeah, right. so they are rocking down under.
Yes, they are.
One more bit of security news, and I don't know if you saw this one online, but researchers at Kaspersky Lab say they discovered a sophisticated global cyber espionage operation called The Mask. It's also known as Careto.
Really?
And it's been up and running since 2007. Apparently, it was a Spanish language toolkit that was using this, so they're trying to figure out what's going on with where this thing came from. But it's been up and running for, 7 years. And as explained on the Kaspersky site, what makes The Mask special is the complexity of the toolset used by the attackers.
Really?
This includes extremely sophisticated malware, a rootkit, a bootkit, Mac OS X and Linux versions, and possibly versions of the malware for Android and iOS.
Uh-oh.
So they kind of covered all the bases with this. The primary targets are government institutions, diplomatic offices and embassies, energy, oil, and gas companies, research organizations, and activists.
How about podcasts?
No mention of podcasts, but I guess we wouldn't know unless we had discovered
some
malware. Victims of this targeted attack have been found in 31 countries around the world, from the Middle East to Europe and to Africa and the Americas. Kaspersky said the degree of sophistication pointed to a possible nation or state sponsorship of the attack, which was out to steal sensitive documents and other information, as most attacks always are, unless they're going after Bitcoins.
What have I been saying for years now? We are in the middle of World War III.
Yeah.
But it's online.
It's totally.
It's like an internet war right now.
Yes.
You have laughed at my aluminum foil hat. But
well,
now,
I've also found them very attractive and stylish, too. Although they must get hot in the summer.
Well, they do. I am getting advice. It is fashion week, you know.
Yeah.
I am the natty nerd.
Yeah. So you've got to do a stroll over there in Bryant Park when you get down here.
Of course, I'm working the catwalk. Don't
there
worry.
There you know. I look forward to seeing the shots on the website there.
I'm going to be all over the magazines.
And I tell you, you'd be on, the GQ, the Esquire, the Men's Vogue, all of the fashions.
Who's that freak with the metal hat?
No, you'll be on the cover of Wired.
There
just
we go.
Wait.
There you go.
Silicon Valley residents are probably familiar with Hangar 1, a massive 8-acre hangar designed in 1933 as basically a parking garage for blimps. I don't know if you've been out there to see it.
No, not yet.
NASA's in charge of Hangar 1, but if things work out, the space agency will be leasing the structure to Google for things like housing private jets and whatnot.
Private jets, of course, because everyone there has a private jet, don't they?
I think those executives tend to have a fleet.
Nice.
And this is not the first deal NASA has struck with the big G, as Google has already leased more than 40 acres of nearby NASA Ames Research Center to build a large research and development facility, and the two entities are working together to build the world's first quantum computer.
That's not scary.
Yeah.
That's not scary. That's not scary.
But, you know, new friends, you have new projects.
Of course. Not scary.
Yeah. Google is also teaming up with longtime Apple component supplier Foxconn, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal. But the two are not working on tablets or smartphones, but robots.
Oh, jeez.
Robots, particularly those used for manufacturing and other corporate pursuits. Google has declined to comment on the matter, saying it doesn't respond to rumors.
You're killing me, JD.
But they're, you know, the worker robots to build the products.
Oh, man.
And until they rise up.
We're like 15 minutes into the show, not even 10 minutes into
the show. I put this in the middle so you would not be totally bummed out away. I got happier news at the end.
All right, cool.
In fact, even this next item might even perk you up.
Cool.
It's a loving family story.
Nice.
And involves robots, too.
Nice.
Spanish hacker Jose Julio used his skills to build an air hockey plane robot for his daughter.
Oh, yes. I saw that. That's awesome.
He made some parts he needed with a 3D printer and then took the 3D printer apart and used motors, drives, and other mechanical components from it, added a PlayStation 3 eye camera, and then developed a vision system to calculate the trajectory of the puck to block and return shots.
Obviously, this guy had
some experience with computers.
Yes.
But he put it all together, and there's a video online, and there's this little girl who's playing knock hockey with this robot that's totally playing back.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool and it's very sweet.
Yeah, but this guy's setting the bar really high.
Yeah.
Now, if my daughter sees this, you know, I can barely put together a little train set for her.
Yeah.
And, you know.
So she's going to be one of fully functional model rockets with,
Frickin' Jose Julio.
Yeah, well, you know, he does get a cool dad award, I would say.
Yes, he does. I got to give him that.
Yeah. And plus, you know, once you make the air hockey robot, then she's got someone to play with and
right.
You don't have to worry that, you know, she's lonely or you don't have to play air hockey.
That's true. But what happens when it gets sentient?
Oh, really? And it starts?
Like flinging like those hockey pucks at people's heads.
Hopefully it's battery or its plug can be pulled then, but we'll see.
There's a kill switch. There's always a kill switch.
Or, you know, turns into a real hockey player and it starts high-sticking and big fight.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I looked at the video. It looked very innocent.
Right,
it's got some pulleys and it's this little thing going back and forth and it just sort of goes to where the puck is going and then blocks it back. It looks fairly benign.
Yes. Cool. Okay.
Microsoft.
Not touched
upon Microsoft yet.
Yes.
Is looking for a software design engineer to join its company team in the music video and reading area. They've got this team, music video and reading, the MVR folks. And according to the job posting, the project at hand is for a groundbreaking interactive reading app on Windows, which incorporates books, magazines, and comics. Now, people will point out, well, Windows 8 already has a basic reader app.
Yeah.
But some are speculating that this new app will be an Xbox-branded bit of software that would work across the company's platforms, including Windows 8, Windows Phone, and the Xbox game console. Also in Microsoft news, with about 2 months to go before the end of support for Windows XP, that ominous date in April.
Yes, indeed. Which has been happening for decades now, right?
Yeah. We're finally coming to the home stretch.
No, seriously. This time we're serious.
Yeah, totally. April 8th.
Totally.
Turning it off.
We're serious now.
Yes. Microsoft is starting to approach small and medium-sized businesses about the need to get off the ancient operating system.
Right.
A company spokesman there has been warning that businesses still running the old operating system face increased security risks, increased costs, and lack of technical support. And they're also offering information to these businesses on transitioning off the circa 2001 software.
Right.
As part of the end of support campaign, though, a post on one of Microsoft's blogs entitled "Help Your Friends and Family Get Off Windows XP" also went up last week.
Yeah.
You know, trying to offer some, you know, encouragement.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh.
Some comments to this post were positive or indifferent. There was a noticeable amount of backlash from readers who have no intention of doing any such thing.
Really? Any snark?
I believe there was some snark. There was some outright anger. Some of these sample comments to the Microsoft post include...
Wait, hold on. Is this safe?
Yeah, it's safe. I screened them. One guy says, how about no? Is the word no in Microsoft's vocabulary? I will not advocate upgrades that require people to relearn the basics of a user interface or replace perfectly good hardware simply for the privilege of running an overblown phone OS.
Wow.
Another person said, well, I'm fine with my Windows 98 computer, so I won't change from Windows 8. I think that one may have been some sarcasm.
Yeah, I think so.
Another one said, I am recommending my friends and family to buy Macs. And another one here. My mother eventually upgraded to Ubuntu Linux. She has a consistent UX experience. No ribbon, no office, no tiles. She doesn't miss Trojans from consistent IE vulnerabilities. And there were several people who pointed out that Microsoft was doing quite a bit for the Linux desktop.
There's always adoption. The Linux guy. Mm-hmm. Show off.
Yeah. But a lot of people had some rage about Windows 8.
Legitimate
found
rage.
Drivers.
Yeah.
The software was
I haven't
not
gone
working
near.
For them.
Yeah.
Yes. They kind of went off on this Microsoft guy who you could tell he was very professional, and he was responding to some of the comments as long as they were presented
sure.
in a courteous and professional manner.
Right, no F-bombs.
Yeah, but I think there were more than 100 comments to his post, and the majority of them were kind of venting about,
sure.
you know, why do you want us to go on this system? Some people pointed out that, well, you've already announced that Windows 9 or whatever it's going to be called is coming down the road. Why should we go on Windows 8 for this short
right.
time?
Right.
A lot of people say, well, maybe Windows 7 is the better jump if you can still get a Windows 7 machine. Mm. So it was a big rage fest. Well, let's just go on and talk about some Android stuff here.
I mean, Android, the operating system?
The operating
Androids
system,
that
yes.
are going to come and destroy me in the middle of the
night? Yeah, no, the gentle operating system with the little green robot.
Gotcha. Whew. Okay.
The eWeek site has just compiled a list of the most popular apps on Android, which is also the world's most popular mobile operating system.
Right.
Items on the list, and let's see how many of these you have.
Okay.
Swipe Keyboard.
Yes.
Clean Master.
No.
Skype.
Yes.
Titanium Backup Pro.
Yes.
Root Explorer.
Yes.
SwiftKey Keyboard.
Yes.
Minecraft.
No.
Snapchat.
Yes.
Kick Messenger.
Yes.
And Flappy Bird.
No. Thankfully, I survived without ever having to deal with Flappy Bird.
Yes. And have you been following the Flappy Bird news all week?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is my next item here
okay.
For people who were addicted to the little game.
Yeah.
Now, about Flappy Bird, as reported by many this week, Dong Wen, the creator of the game, pulled it from app stores this week after saying that he was going to, and then he followed through and did it.
Right.
He said Flappy Bird had ruined his simple life by attracting too much attention, and it was an addictive product. Those were the reasons he gave. I know he got a lot of heat on boards for people complaining about the game.
Shenanigans. I'm calling shenanigans.
Yeah, he told Forbes it was an addictive product. I have to get it out. My first thought, too, is this a PR stunt. He's just going to pull it for a while and then bring it back by popular demand.
Probably.
You know, who knows? I mean, the guy seemed to be kind of generally distressed by some of it.
Fair enough.
And the game was making $50,000 a week in advertising, but apparently it still will because people who downloaded it before who were still playing it are still going to see those ads. Mm. So he's still going to be making some coin there.
Isn't that about how much we make on this podcast?
At least that. Yeah, after taxes.
After taxes, right.
I never played it either, but apparently it's a little yellow bird flying through some green pipes, and you just have to
stop from bonking. It's Helicopter. Don't you remember Helicopter?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Flash game.
Yeah, so it's not an incredibly original gameplay, but I guess people found it sort of whimsical. There was some speculation that Mr. Wen yanked the game due to possible copyright violations with Nintendo's Super Mario franchise, although a Nintendo spokesperson denied that the company had taken any legal action. I don't know if they said something, you know, hey, psst, guy, get that off.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They may not have taken any legal action, but they could have suggested.
On him, yeah, or something. But, you know, Nintendo saying, no, it wasn't us. And apparently there were false reports of the guy's suicide also circulating quickly debunked. I think that was just people out to prank and try to stir up some fake hits.
May I?
Yes.
May I jump in here for a second?
Please do.
This whole thing is ridiculous.
Really?
First off, it's just asinine.
Yes.
The guy makes a silly little game, and people on the internet act like someone just shot their mom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. It's a stupid game.
And there's already like 50 clones of it.
Please, it's already a clone of a really annoying game back from 2000 or whatever. The helicopter game.
Yeah.
I mean, people, come on. And let's be honest. Just like you said, I have a sneaking suspicion the game's going to come back with new sounds, so Nintendo folks are happy. And, you know, come on, this is all nonsense. It's a PR thing.
Yeah.
Big time PR thing.
Yeah.
It's addictive. But he's very quick to mention, oh, I still do make other games. Yeah, all these little video games are addictive. That's the whole point.
Yeah, that's what a video game does.
Oish.
Yes.
That's a good one, right? Oish.
Is that a Bronx noise?
That's definitely a Bronx one. But that sounds like more like when you're getting out of a chair.
Yeah.
Oish. Or maybe sitting on a chair.
So it's sort of effort is involved.
But seriously, it's a freaking little game with about people, calm down.
Yes.
Just calm down.
There's plenty of other games with birds.
Please. I'm going to make an annoying game like that.
Really?
And just go, eh.
Cranky Bird?
I don't care. Cranky Bird. That's it. Cranky Bird. I'm going to fly around and like give people the bird.
Yeah. And you fly into the pipes and
right,
destroy
exactly.
the houses.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Fine. Yeah. Cranky Bird. That's going to make $100,000 a week.
All right. We'll get busy with your in-app advertising. So. Moving on from the Flappy Bird controversy to happier news. You might like this one, too. Lego is considering ideas for new building sets, and one of the candidates this year is a set based on the BBC's Sherlock TV show.
Nice!
Now, the proposed Sherlock set is just a finalist among six possible projects that also include the DeLorean from Back to the Future and the Legend of Zelda kits. So it's in the voting stage, but it made it to sort of final consideration.
Sherlock.
Yes. The Sherlock proposal details two different sets, a 370-piece recreation of the consultation area at 221B Baker Street, and then also a 630-piece kit that makes up the apartment's living room. Kits would include little mini Lego figures in some combination of Sherlock Holmes and John Watson, as well as Crazy Pants Jim Moriarty, nice. Mrs. Hudson, Inspector Lestrade, Molly Hooper, and Sherlock's brother, Mycroft.
Yes, Holmes. Mycroft. Nice.
The current review period there at Lego ends in early May, so we'll know then if Sherlock made the cut or perhaps if Sherlock gets bricked. Very exciting. I'm going to vote. I wish we could vote.
Yeah,
but I'll link to the proposal on the Lego site because they opened this up on their blog, and it's actually really... The person who thought this up is so detailed, and they have little recreations of the characters, and I want to play with it.
My kids love Lego.
Yeah.
I'll buy it, but don't touch it.
Yeah.
Papa's
Legos.
Yes, Papa's Legos.
Yes, you play with your helicopter.
That's right.
Yes, all right. And finally. One bit of Olympic news. Yes, there's all kinds of technology helping the athletes. The opening ceremony was way off the chain with the special effects, and social media is abundant. But the Canadian athletes have extra treats in their Olympic house.
Do they?
It's a refrigerator that dispenses free beer.
No.
But you have to be Canadian to use the beer fridge, and you want to know how.
How do they determine that?
You have to present your passport for screening, and the vending machine scans it, and if it sees a Canadian passport, then you get the beer.
Oh, I thought maybe there was a TSA agent there.
Yeah, no, because you have to be Canadian, too. I think it's Molson sponsored it. But,
nice.
Yeah, so...
Get those Canadian athletes ripped and throw them down a mountainside.
Yeah, and you know, Canada, should be noted, is in the top three of the medal board all week. They've either been, like, tied for first, or I think they're in second place currently, so... Coincidence? Maybe this beer has helped
Hey, obviously, that's a performing-enhancing stuff there.
The,
you know?
The Molson there
right.
is...
Exactly. I won't call it a drug, but it's absolutely a performance-enhancing supplement.
In the best way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking Canadians. But how can we stay mad at Canadians, though? They're so nice.
Yeah, they got the Tim Hortons donuts.
They do.
And Molson is a very good beer.
Molson's a great beer.
I'm fond of Molson.
Yes. Do they advertise with us? No.
No, they don't.
Nobody advertises with us, right? Nobody.
But anyway, so the Canadian team is doing really good, and they get free beer. And for all of the rest of the links in the news segment this week, you can find them all at...
Pop Tech Jam. Are we going to get sued?
I don't think so.
Oh, Canada. And now it's time for the Pop Tech Jam Tech Term of the Week, where we explain the geek speak, nerd words, and communications jargon you may encounter in everyday life. This week's tech term is social engineering. Well, this is kind of awkward. I guess it was inevitable since I'm less than organized when it comes to this stuff. Quite honestly, I'm surprised it hasn't happened sooner when you consider how many of these vocabulary lessons I've actually done. Strange. You'd think I'd be more upset about it. Guess that's the upside of not having any shame. Oh, jeez, now I'm compounding the problem by bearing the lead. Oh, darn. Now I'm using cool newsroom jargon about beginning a story with secondary details instead of getting to the actual point. Arrgh! Great. Now I'm channeling Charlie Brown. Do people use ish instead of issue anymore? Was that ever a thing? Anyway, my ish is that there's a real possibility I may have already dissected social engineering on a podcast episode. It may have been on our old show at that huge and well-respected media empire both JD and I continue to happily toil for, or I may have dropped some science about it here on Pop Tech Jam many, many moons ago. While I may not be all that torn up about it, I do sincerely apologize if this is truly the case. Sorry, jammers and tech talkers. Oh, right, the tech term. According to Microsoft Safety and Security Center, I hear you snickering. Stop it now. Be nice. Social engineering is a technique used by criminals to gain access to your computer. The purpose of social engineering is usually to secretly install spyware or other malicious software, or to just trick you into handing over your passwords and other sensitive financial or personal information. Social engineering scams can be both online, such as an email message that asks you to open the attachment, which contains malware, and offline, such as a phone call from someone posing as a representative from your credit card company. Hey, say what you will, the Microsoft folks nailed it. I don't know why people just don't call it what it is, getting conned, or hustled, swindled, played, scammed, fleeced, bamboozled, taken for a ride, slickered, skinned. You get the point. Social engineering, the Pop Tech Jam tech term of the week. Hungry.
You're hungry.
I want pierogies.
Ooh.
Pierogies, right? That would hit
so
the spot right
now.
Yeah,
go down to Basilka there.
Yeah, Basilka. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Let's get some pierogies. Let's have them delivered. Can we do that?
I think we can.
Nice.
That's the topic of my little item here.
Get out of here.
See how you come up with these
get
things.
Get out of here.
Now, have you ever noticed, like, when you hear a particular song,
yes,
or you taste certain foods or smell a particular scent, it automatically kind of whisks you back in time. You know, not to get all Proustian here with the Madeleine, but little French cookies aside, what if our memories hinge on something that's hard to get, like a dish served in a specific restaurant or some sort of regional cuisine that you're not really near anymore because you moved? New York bagels, Chicago deep dish pizza, Philadelphia pretzels, New Orleans king cake, all of these things very...
Polish pierogies?
Yes, Polish pierogies, kind of attached to their area. Now, if you live in a larger city like we do, you can find reasonable facsimiles of all of these or the real things themselves. But what if you don't, or the local approximations don't measure up? That is where the internet comes in, because if you haven't looked lately, more and more famed regional restaurants have gotten on board with online shops, as well as mobile apps, to help you get another taste of those memories.
Nice.
Yes, it's a beautiful thing. Now, if you're an expat New Yorker, Zabar's, Junior's Cheesecake, and Cat's Delicatessen are just three of the many NYC institutions that will deliver right to your door when you order online. And Cat's has been doing this, I think, since the war, you know, because they had that, you know, send a salami to your boy in the army campaign.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so they've been doing this forever, but the internet makes it much easier. And for those out there, we're going to have links to all of these restaurants we mentioned in case your appetite becomes intrigued.
I'm getting so hungry right now. You have no idea.
Yes. Now, if for those who grew up in the Windy City and find themselves missing fabulous deep dish Chicago pizza, which I know New Yorkers claim is not pizza, it's
that's
casserole.
Not pizza.
But
that's soup.
We'll call it deep dish.
All right.
Lou Malnati's and Gino's East both deliver deep dish by mail. You can also get Carson's BBQ ribs, Maxwell Polish sausage, and Portillo's Italian beef at the Tastes of Chicago site.
You are killing me so bad. Oh.
Yes, and you know, and some of it is not exactly the cheapest, but you're paying for the memory and the experience.
That's right.
If you are fond of the head-melting shrimp cocktail sauce from the famous St. Elmo Steakhouse in downtown Indianapolis, you can get that for $9 a bottle online. The Decatur Dairy ships serious Wisconsin cheese all over the country. I've had that, and that is the cheese of the gods. If you hail from the city of brotherly love and miss your tasty cakes, Sweetzel spiced wafers, or Philly soft pretzels, there's a site called the Pennsylvania General Store.
Just stop it and take my credit cards right now, JD.
Yes, yeah, we're going to go shopping.
Here. Oh, my laptop.
Ooh.
Let's go.
Yes.
You keep talking.
All right. Now, if you miss the fine produce and natural fruits in California, check out Market Hall, where they also import the famed French tea Mariage Frere. If you're hankering for some Texas Hill Country barbecue, the Salt Lick and Driftwood is just one of the many places you can go get a full rack of ribs for UPS delivery. And if you need authentic New Orleans king cake for your office Mardi Gras party, which is March 4th, March 4th,
that's right.
Gambino's is just one of the many local bakeries down there that will FedEx you a king cake on Mardi Gras. They'll also throw in some beads and doubloons for your party, so your good times may indeed roll.
Nice.
Amazon will also link you up a specialty food importer so you can get overseas favorites like Jammy Dodgers, certain kinds of teas, things from England and whatnot that are hard to find in more remote parts of the country.
Right. My wife actually had red velvet cake delivered to me from North Carolina once over the internet.
Southern red velvet cake.
Southern,
now that is the real stuff.
Yes, that's the real deal.
Yeah, totally.
I wanted to marry it.
Ooh.
But I was already married.
Yeah, well, you know.
That could be a problem. It's not big love.
But hopefully the cake was delicious.
It was. Oh, gosh.
And it's on the internet, so you can get it again.
Yes, indeed.
Now, many of the fine old American roadside eateries are also getting into the online delivery business as well. You can get Stuckey's pecan logs on the internet these days. I don't know if they're any more edible than they were back then. And it was kind of like
an acquired taste.
Yeah, you'd look for the Stuckey sign. Right. I was very fond of them.
Of course.
And plus, you could put your sister with them in the back seat, and then those things really hurt. But, you know, like most chains, the Stuckey site has a store locator that you can use to find the nearest franchise in case you're feeling nostalgic enough to actually get in the car.
Hey, hold on a second. Do you think there's a plugin that I can get that will filter out my stomach grumbling from all this talk of food?
I'm sure somebody's got an open source plugin.
I need it. You're killing me.
Yeah, well, you know, we're almost done here.
All right,
we'll,
here we go.
Then we'll let you go eat. Now, if you hit up your app store, you can also find apps for a lot of our popular chains. Granted, these are places that if you want to eat healthy, maybe you shouldn't go there all the time. But they're fun for, you know,
every once in a while, little
visit. I found this out this weekend. Waffle House has an app for iOS and Android.
No.
That shows you, it pinpoints you on the map, shows you the nearest Waffle House. I found out there was a Waffle House less than 30 miles from where I was at the time that I did not know was there.
Stop.
And so I got in the car and drove down, and I had the cheese and eggs, and I had the raisin toast, and it was just like being in the South.
You know what? You got to tell me where.
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Nice. Yes.
Yes. It's very, and it's a fun little Waffle House. They have two of them actually in Bethlehem.
Oh, nice.
For people who hail from the West, beloved chains like In-N-Out Burger also has iOS and Android apps that help you see the menu, find a store. White Castle, which is an acquired taste for some people.
I was actually thinking White Castle.
White Castle even has a Windows Phone app to go with its iOS and Android offerings.
See, they're taking care of customers now.
Yeah.
That's
and
customer
White Castle has gotten out there. I've actually seen the frozen White Castles in the grocery freezer case.
Yeah, it's not the same, though.
But if you wanted to go to the little White Castle and, you know, have your clothes smell of scented onions.
Give me a sack of 10 right
sack
now.
Sack of sliders.
Yes.
Yes. So those types of apps can help you find stores and also check in on social media if you want to tell your friends.
I'm eating a sack of 10 with onion rings.
Yes, and one last little bit, because I know you're hungry and you want to go eat. If you're hitting the road to relive a fond childhood memory, be sure to order up some classic candy from your era from sites like Old Time Candy or the Candy Warehouse. You know, Proust had his Madeleines, and you can have your squirrel nut zippers.
Yes, squirrel nut
them
zippers.
Over the internet.
Yep.
For anyone out there who is hungry or wants to see if a particular regional cuisine that they remember is online, just go to the web, search for it. A lot of places are really getting on with the online ordering, and they'll deliver by dry ice. You get it the next day, depending on the site, if it's a sort of a perishable.
Right.
So there's a lot of great stuff out there. We will have links to all of the ones specifically mentioned in this segment at
poptechjam.com. We have to go.
Yes, you have some shopping to do online.
I have some shopping online to do. I'm really starving. You really got me hungry. My stomach really is grumbling.
I think part of it is it's been such a long, harsh winter, and I don't know if I just want to like put on some fat to protect myself from the cold.
Isn't that a biological thing? People eat and, you know.
Yeah, or you're just sitting there and you're trapped indoors, and so you start to reminisce. And
what else is there to do?
I would really like to have some barbecue ribs.
Yeah. You know what I had the other day?
What did you have?
I had bacon wrapped in chocolate.
Wow.
I don't know why.
Was there syrup on it, too? Or?
No syrup on it, but it wasn't very good.
Really? Like was this a homemade thing? Or
No, it wasn't a homemade thing.
It's gourmet.
It's got two things that I love. It's got bacon and chocolate, but it's not like peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah.
That works together well. But no, bacon and chocolate.
The bacon needs to be seasoned in a particular way. It's not to distract or interfere with the innate chocolate flavors.
Nice.
In my opinion.
Nice. Anyway, we got to go.
Yeah, we got
to
go.
We got to say thank you to the bros.
Yes, thank you, bros,
for hosting us. That's right. Hosting us, helping us with our site. Everything you do, we appreciate. BuiltByBros.com. Build something with the bros.
Yes, and thank you all to listeners out there all around the world. We salute you.
Yes, we salute you. And listen, subscribe, rate us. Let us know what you think. We really appreciate it. Get us in the top 10 at Stitcher. That's my goal. We got to get top 10 Stitcher action.
It's good to have goals. All right. So until next week, I'm J.D. Beersdorfer.
And I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
Deep dish pizza.
No! I got to start bringing up the energy level.
Yeah, I'm a little like today. I think it's, you know, and we're having another possibly giant snowstorm this weekend. Maybe, although we don't know where the storm would track. We could get half an inch or a foot.
God, I hate it. We gonna be real dead. And a one, and a two, and a...